नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय पादायनूनं शौचसि मैकपादम् आत्मानं वा वृषलैर्भोक्ष्यमानम् अहो सुरादिन् हृतयज्ञभागान् प्रजा उत स्वन् महावाक्य वर्षति पादायनूनं शौचसि मैकपादम् आत्मानं वा वृषलैर्भोक्ष्यमानम् आहो सुरादिन् हृतयज्ञभागान् प्रजा उत स्वन् मघवाक्य वर्षति पादायनूनं शौचसि मैकपादम् आत्मानं वा वृषलैर्भोक्ष्यमानम् अहो सुरादिन् हृतयज्ञभागान् प्रजा उत स्वन् मघवाक्य वर्षति ladies. Die by three legs, new numb, diminished, shochasi. If you are lamenting for that, ma, my, ekapadam, only one leg, atmanam, own body, va, or brishalai, by the unlawful meat eaters, bokshamanam, to be exploited, aho, in sacrifice, suradin, the authorized demigods, Hritta Yajna, devoid of sacrificial, Bhagan, share, Praja, the living beings, Uta, increasing, Svit, weather, Magabati, in famine and scarcity, Avarshati, because of rainlessness. I have lost my three legs and am now standing on one only. Are you lamenting for my state of existence? Or are you in great anxiety because henceforward the unlawful meat eaters will exploit you? Or are you in a sorry plight because the demigods are now bereft of their share of sacrificial offerings because of sacrifices are being performed, because no sacrifices are being performed at present? Or are you grieving for living beings because of their sufferings due to famine and drought? The living beings, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are continuing from yesterday's class. The living beings are created by the Creator Brahma. And just to maintain the created living being progressively towards the path back to Godhead, the system of performing sacrifice is also created by Him. The system is that living beings live on the produce of grains and vegetables. And by eating such foodstuff, they get vital power of the body in the shape of blood and semen. And from blood and semen, one living being is able to create other living beings. But the production of grains, grass, etc. becomes possible by rain. And this rain is made to shower properly by performance of recommended sacrifices. Such sacrifices are directed by the rites of the Vedas, namely Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva. In the Manu Smriti, it is recommended that by offering of sacrifice on the altar of the fire, the sun god is pleased. When the sun god is pleased, he properly collects water from the sea, and thus sufficient clouds collect on the horizon and rains fall. After sufficient rains fall, there is sufficient production of grains for men and all animals. And thus there is energy in the living being for progressive activity. The Mlechas, however, make plans to install slaughterhouses for killing bulls and cows along with other animals, thinking that they will prosper by increasing the number of factories and live on animal food without caring for performance of sacrifices and production of grains. But they must know that even for the animals, they must produce grass and vegetables. Otherwise, the animals cannot live. And to produce grass for the animals, they require sufficient rains. Therefore, they have to depend ultimately on the mercy of the demigods, like the sun god, Indra, and Chandra. And such demigods must be satisfied by performances of sacrifice. The material world is a sort of prison house, as we have several times mentioned. The demigods are the servants of the Lord who see to the proper upkeep of the prison house. These demigods want to see that the rebel living beings who want to survive faithlessly are gratefully turned toward the supreme power of the Lord. Therefore, the system of offering sacrifice is recommended in the scriptures. The materialistic men want to work hard and enjoy fruit of results for sense enjoyment. Thus, they are committing many types of sins at every step of life. Those, however, who are consciously engaged in the devotional service of the Lord are transcendental to all varieties of sin and virtue. Their activities are free from the contamination of the three modes of material nature. For the devotees, there is no need for performance of prescribed sacrifices, because the very life of the devotee is a symbol of sacrifice. But persons who are engaged in fruitive activities for sense enjoyment must perform the prescribed sacrifices, because that is the only means to get free from the reaction of all sins committed by fruitive workers. Sacrifice is the means for counteracting such accumulated sins. The demigods are pleased when such sacrifices are performed. Just as prison officers are satisfied when the prisoners are turned into obedient subjects. Lord Chaitanya, however, has recommended only one yajna or sacrifice, called the Sankirtan yajna, the chanting of Hare Krishna, in which everyone can take part. Thus, both devotees and fruitive workers can derive equal benefit from the performances of Sankirtan Yajna. Om Agyantimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Milidam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakan Bitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Today, we are reading from Canto 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 16, entitled, How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali, Text 20. I'm very honored, very grateful, and very happy to be with you today. In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has just recently performed the final chapter of his pastimes in this world and has departed. After the great Kurukshetra pastime, Yudhisthira, along with his brothers, were given the responsibility as Krishna, as God's caretakers, to oversee all the people of the world and the world herself. And in their presence, because Dharmaraj or Yudhisthira Maharaj was truly a representative of Krishna's compassion, he saw to the protection and the well-being of all beings. therefore there was prosperity and there was happiness. But when Krishna left this world, they understood that Kali Yuga was to begin, an age which would be very much predominated by quarrel and hypocrisy. A time where people would not value seva or service, but would value exploitation. True wealth is the attitude of service, which brings a contentness to the heart and which connects one to our original natural love of the soul. But the idea of janasya moho yamaham ameti, that I am this physical body, I am the thoughts of this mind, and whatever is in relation is mine, it disconnects us from truth. Sarva Loka Maheshwara. Everything is the property of Sri Bhagavan, the Supreme Being, Parameshwara. Bhaktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suratam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shanti mirchati. In this beautiful verse from Sri Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives a synopsis of how to be peaceful and happy by simply recognizing the truth, which is the reality that everything is the property of the Supreme. And therefore everything is meant to be used in the harmony with the Supreme. And then Krishna goes on to say, understanding that that Supreme Being, Krishna, is the eternal, intimate, most loving well-wisher of all living beings. The concept that we have heard so many times, when you water the root of the tree, it is naturally offered to every part of the tree. We can understand it in this way from this verse from the Gita. Because Krishna is the supreme ever well-wisher of all living beings, we best serve him when we seva, assist him, when we are actually engaged in utilizing Krishna's property for Krishna's pleasure. It is in the spirit of compassion, because that is the reason Krishna comes to this world, to free people from suffering and give people anandam buddhivardhanam, the true happiness that they're seeking forever. So when Yudhisthira Maharaj and his brother saw that Krishna left, they understood this is an indication that they should also leave. And they had such deep love for Krishna. They just didn't want to be in this world without him. So they entrusted the throne to Parikshit, the grandson of Arjuna. And then they left to perfect their lives. Such an example. Unrivaled king and princes of the world. They performed their duty for Krishna's pleasure, for the well-being of all. And when they understood someone else could perform their duty nicely, they went to the forest, to the Himalayas. They didn't have houses. They didn't have a change of clothes. No one was cooking for them. Why did they do that? To set an example. Yadyaracharati sreshtas. And the example is to culminate our life in what we prepare our life for. To understand we are completely dependent on the grace of the higher power of Govinda. To, at every moment, recognize that we're under the shelter of Govinda. Since time immemorial, we find people, they go to caves or they go to forests for the purpose of spiritual enlightenment. And the reason the forest is such a nice place for that is we immediately, or at least after some time, we have to face the reality that we're not the controller. That we're completely dependent on higher powers. Now, when you're in the forest, you don't have any technology. At least, that's the idea. If you go deep enough in the forest, it doesn't work anyway. Then there's snakes, and there's lions, and there's tigers, and there's wild boars, and there's rains, and there's snows, and there's heat, and there is mosquitoes. And they don't listen to what you say. Can't put a switch on the thermostat to make it cooler or hotter. You can't call the security to protect you from the animals and the insects and the reptiles. The idea is not just to have hardships. It's to recognize that we're completely dependent on a higher power. And with that understanding, we take shelter, we surrender to that higher power. Sam siddhir hari toshana. Yayatamam prapatyante tam sthitaiva vajamya. Krishna tells in Gita that according to the mood in which we surrender, that is how Krishna reveals the truth to us. It's not a matter of a mechanical process of ascending to a higher state of consciousness. We can get wealth, we can get fame, we can get mystical potencies, miraculous powers, by doing these things. But as far as true liberation, the awakening of the soul, the real happiness we're seeking, that's a gift. It's given to us. In reciprocation to our sincerity. And in a sense, Prabhupada is speaking about sacrifice. The spirit of sacrifice is not just giving up something physically. It's giving up, sacrificing our egoistic conceptions. Because when we give up our egoistic conceptions, we can actually be grateful. When we're arrogant, it's very difficult to genuinely be grateful. So it's a recognition and it's an expression that we're grateful for the things that we receive every day. The sun, Surya, the water, Varuna, fire, Agni, rain, Indra. We are given this insight into the personal ways that the Supreme Personality of Godhead operates creation. And we recognize we can't create rain. We are dependent on a higher power. So the idea of the such a sacrifice is we are recognizing that, we are humbling ourselves, we are grateful, and we are expressing our gratitude. And the more we're expressing our gratitude with love, because gratitude is a form of love, Krishna tells in Gita that whatever all the devatas, devarshi bhutatmaninam vitrinam, that whatever all the devatas are giving us are ultimately coming from the supreme source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhava. And this is where that verse is actually introduced. That when we put water on the root of the tree, all the demigods are naturally satisfied. If we put food in the stomach, naturally every part of the body will be nourished. And similarly, when we please Krishna, when we please Vishnu, then we fulfill all our obligations. And we show our deepest gratitude, and in time our deepest love, to not only all the devatas, the demigods, but to all living beings, to everything, to everyone. But it means to live in harmony with the will of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada in this purport is explaining, for a devotee who lives in a mood of devotional service, there's really no need for any other sacrifices because they're already living in harmony. They're already living in gratitude in every aspect of their life. Yajyai sankirtana prayaya yajantihi sumedasa. And in this age of Kali Yuga, in order to bring us to that state of consciousness, Srimad Bhagavatam recommends that in this Kali Yuga, the most all-inclusive, perfect, effective of all yajnas is Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. That the divine name has descended from the highest realm of the spiritual world, Goloka. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kabunai Sravanadi Sudhijiti Kodiye Udhoi. By hearing the glories of the holy name, by chanting the holy names, by being with those who inspire us to live in harmony with Krishna and chant his holy names, then the love of our heart, the eternal nature of the soul is awakened. So Kali Yuga is a time when these true human principles are put aside. And because of the weakness of one's true integrity, one puts him or herself in the center of their existence. We want to be the enjoyers, the proprietors, and the controllers. And in previous times, those who had these aspirations were seen as very unfortunate, weak, and fallen. But in Kali Yuga, everything becomes so mixed up that we think this is greatness. When a person really becomes successful in being a proprietor, a controller, and an enjoyer, they become heroes. We have Ramayana. Ravana was like that. He was in Sri Lanka. He was considered the greatest of all heroes. Hanuman didn't have a palace. If you ever go to Kishkindha Kshetra, Hampi, you'll see the cave that Hanuman used to live in. There's no furniture. Very simple place. But he was happy. We can't imitate Hanuman, but the spirit is there. His satisfaction was in seva, in service. And at the same time, there was great kings like Janaka, lived in a wonderful palace. Had fame, prosperity, fine foods. But he had the same devotion as Hanuman, because he understood that Sri Ram is the supreme controller, proprietor, and enjoyer. Let me serve with love. That is bhakti. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we find Hiranyakashipu. Among his inner circles, he was really the hero, because he was just so good at being the controller, enjoyer, and proprietor of everything that he could possibly reach out for. And then there was little Prahlad. He didn't really have anything except what Hanuman had. He had love in his heart. He had compassion in his heart. He had a will to serve. So for devotees, you know, we are learning how to look up to the character of the Mahajans. Mahajano yena katasapanta. We look up to Prahlad. In Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya's Leela Vasudev Dutt, Sri Vastakur. Hanuman in Ram's Leela Bharat. Bharat was given the role of being the king of Ayodhya and the whole empire. And he performed his service as king. But he lived in a little straw hut in a forest called Nandigram. Just ate roots and herbs. And wore tree bark. And later on, when Ram returned, he engaged in interacting with all the royal facilities of a prince. So these are heroes. Heroes who did not live being impelled by greed, arrogance, anger, lust. They were impelled by the desire to serve with devotion. Nasta prayeshu padreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. We're asked to read Srimad Bhagavatam every day, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, to distribute Srimad Bhagavatam for others, to remind us of who are the real heroes, who should really we be following in the footsteps of, what is of true value, what is Sanatana Dharma, what is our true purpose in life, keep focused. And therefore, we find so many devotees being discussed who are going through many sunny and stormy times in life, and how they teach us by their example, by their words, how to always keep in our consciousness the goal of life, what the heart really wants. Otherwise, the endless distractions will compromise. And for some people, Maya just takes everything at once. Just takes your consciousness and just makes you, you're totally a selfish, materialistic kind of person. And for others, it's just one step at a time. Just somehow or other distracting us and letting us think that it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. And after some time, we realize that we've lost the real treasure that has taken us millions and millions of births to have access to, and we've lost it because of inattentiveness. That is why association devotees, sadhana, is so important. So that we can integrate this focus, this purpose in our life. Parikshit Maharaj, he was so kind, he was so compassionate. And his kindness and compassion was expressed as his deep sympathy for the sufferings of all beings, and his willingness to go out of his way so much to help everyone, because he didn't think himself to be the king in the sense of being master of everyone. He thought himself as the king, as the servant of everyone. God's creation, God's children entrusted in my care. But to protect the innocent, he was so powerful. Justice was served wherever it needed to be served, very swiftly and very effectively. So Parikshit Maharaj was taking a tour of his kingdom just to make sure everyone was happy, everyone was protected, and everyone was spiritually nourished. In this particular chapter, we find as he's riding on his chariot in various provinces, there's something he's about to encounter. There is dharma. Dharma is moral, spiritual principles. Sanatana dharma is the supreme, eternal essence of all spiritual principles, which is jiva swarupoi krishner nityadas, that we're eternally servants of Krishna, to serve with love. That is Sanatana dharma. And principles of dharma, which is moral, ethical principles, yama and niyama, they are necessary in order to cultivate this Sanatana dharma. Just as Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, we, at the time of an initiation, we vow to chant God's names, to read Srimad Bhagavatam, to render devotional service. But also these four regulative principles were given so that our life is morally pure, morally strong. And then very quickly our sadhana has a profound effect of awakening. our souls. So Dharma, the very embodiment of spiritual principles, religious principles, and moral principles, took the form of a bull. And that bull happened to meet a cow. And this cow is the personification of Mother Earth. Mother Earth is Krishna's energy. Krishna explains that all of this material existence is the Lord's energy. I was just listening to a recording of Srila Prabhupada, where a very famous man of the 60s, this is a recording in 1969, he was asking Srila Prabhupada about spirituality, religion, and Prabhupada was explaining how the glories of the chanting of God's names. And he said, this person said, in the religion that I was brought up, it's prohibited to say the name of God. What do you think of that? So, when Srila Prabhupada pauses before he answers a question, the mind thinks, what's he going to say? There's so many ways you can approach a single question. And Prabhupada, he actually appreciated that. He said, that is because God is Ishvara. He's pure, he's spiritual. And we don't want to bring God down to the material platform. By saying the God's name, it brings God down to the material platform, just like you're calling your daughter. Hey, come. He said, this is the idea of that. He said, but the Vedic literatures give us a higher platform of understanding. And then Srila Prabhupada explained, everything is spiritual. Everything potentially is spiritual. The difference between spiritual and material is when we do not recognize, we have forgotten that everything is God's property. Everything is Krishna's energy. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Mata Sarvam Pravartate. And therefore we want to use things independently under the influence of the ego. When we recognize that everything's coming from Krishna, we understand that everything is potentially spiritual. When we're engaged in devotional service, Prabhupada would say that this microphone is spiritual when we recognize it's Krishna's energy and we use it in harmony with Krishna's will. Material is when we forget that and use it for another purpose. Srila Prabhupada was explaining, in this understanding, when we chant the name of God, we're not bringing God down to the material platform, but rather the name of God is lifting us to the spiritual platform. Mother Earth is, in the Vedic literatures, Bhumi. She's actually an expansion of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. If you go to Tirupati, there is Bhuvaraha. And according to tradition, if you want the complete benefits of going to Balaji, Venkateshwar, in the Tirupati temple, you have to, before they had cars, you had to walk up seven mountains to get there. Have any of you ever been to Tirupati? Have any of you walked all the way from the bottom across the seven mountains? It's the best way to go. When you drive up, it's nice, but when you walk all those thousands of steps, when you get to the top, somehow the tendency is that you appreciate the value of where you are. Sometimes when things are cheaply given, we don't open our hearts to take it as seriously. But usually when I go to Tirupati, I walk up the steps. It takes a while. But when you get there, I remember one man I know, he's very, very wealthy. And when he went, there was a line of for 5, 6, 7 hours just to come in to see the deity for a moment. And because he's such a prominent type of person, when as soon as people saw him, the pujaris immediately and the administrators of the temple, they wanted to bring him right to the front of the line and give him as much time as he wanted in front of the deities. And he told me that he went to the back of the line. He said, I've so many times, you know, a couple times a year he goes there and they always bring him to the front. But he wanted to just be like the regular people and stand in line. And everybody who's standing in line is chanting, Govinda, 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 because it's developing an anticipation to come before the Lord. And for so many hours, he just step by step went closer, closer, closer. And then he only got like a few seconds. But he said, that was the best darshan he ever had. Because there's a sense of value when things are not given easily. Sometimes we think in our own devotional life, why is Krishna not just giving me ecstatic happiness immediately? Sometimes he gives us a sample. But for many of us, we understand that sometimes the sample doesn't last. For this reason, if we have proper association, we understand the value. The value of what we're being given. So when you go to Tirupati, you're supposed to first go to Bhuvaraha and offer prayers, offer devotion to them, and then go to Sibalaji, then get in line. But there's a line in front of Bhuvaraha too. And Bhu is Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, who's Krishna's divine energy, Sri Radharani, who has expanded herself in so many ways within this creation also, as the supreme goddess of fortune. And here in this particular story we're reading, Parikshit Maharaj, who's representing Krishna, is equally concerned with how we treat Mother Earth in the form of a cow as with other humans and other animals and other people, because it's inseparable. If we abuse Krishna's creation, Krishna's energy in the form of Mother Earth, then we abuse all people who are depending on Mother Earth. And just see here, Mother Earth, who is so powerful, who is maintaining and sustaining everyone always in this world, is taking the form of an innocent, simple cow. And she does that a lot. In the 10th canto, we will read, of course, chronologically, it happened before this story. when there was so much exploitation and cruelty and evil in this world, Mother Earth took the form of a cow and was crying and approached Brahma, the guru. And then along with Brahma went to the shore of the ocean of milk and cried for Krishna to come. And here, Mother Earth, in the form of cow, she's assuming a most pathetic condition. She's trembling. She's crying. And Dharma, in the form of a bull, only has one leg. Three legs have been crippled. And he's in great pain. And there is this beautiful discussion which leads us to today's verse, where Dharma is explaining his own condition. I've lost three of my legs. I've lost, in other words, the people of this world have practically eliminated, you know, moral principles. And now I'm standing on one. Mother Earth, Bhumi, are you lamenting because you're seeing my pathetic condition? Are you in great anxiety because you're seeing how people are exploiting each other, your own children? Or are you grieving the living beings because of their suffering due to famine, due to drought? So here we are giving a revelation of Mother Earth as a person who feels for all of her children. Srila Prabhupada, when he established farm communities, this was very much how he emphasized how to help humanity at large, by showing the way of living in harmony with God, with Krishna, and nature. And when we reach the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the supreme, ultimate, spiritual vision of Krishna, Sri Radha, all the devotees, in their beautiful, intimate interactions with nature. Vrindavan, no skyscrapers. It's a forest. It's forests and pastures. And there's constant, and Shukadeva Goswami gives, and Aracharyas give constant explanations of the river Yamuna, the hill named Govardhan, the forest where the Rasa Lila is taking place. Such beautiful glorification in each and every type of tree, each and every flower. The sweet, purifying, devotional effect of the humming of the bees, the singing of the birds, the dancing of the peacocks. In fact, Krishna, his mother dresses him so nicely when he goes to herd cows. But he and his cowherd friends, they appreciate much more, not the ornaments, but rubbing the colorful herbs of the ground all over their bodies. decorating themselves with leaves and flowers and feathers of birds and peacocks. How much Krishna loves nature, and how much nature loves Krishna. When Krishna sees a flower growing, he becomes ever more beautiful to give satisfaction to the flower, and the flower becomes more beautiful for the satisfaction of Krishna. And then Krishna reciprocates by revealing more beauty to the flower, and then the flower becomes even more beautiful for Krishna. And this interaction goes on for eternity. Krishna is infinitely, forever, becoming more and more beautiful to the flower, and the flower is infinitely, unlimitedly becoming more and more beautiful to Krishna. Love in the simplest way. Vrindavan is love in the purest simplicity, in the most natural environment. The gopis, they do not want royal palaces like the queens of Dwarka. They just want Krishna to come back to Vrindavan so they could make flowery garlands for him, milk the cows for him. So that simplicity of recognizing that everything is Krishna's manifestation, of Krishna's energy, for the purpose of facilitating loving service and loving relationships. So Mother Cow is in a pathetic state. She is so powerful, but yet she's assuming a condition where she's crying and she's feeling helpless. And Dharma, the bull, is in the same condition. And this is all happening since Krishna left the world. Because when Krishna was here, Krishna fixed everything so nicely. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami juge juge. But after he left, Kali Yuga came in. And we are about to hear in the next verses how Parikshit Maharaj, a devotee, a loving devotee. Parikshit Maharaj, we read about when he was in the womb of his mother, a Brahmastra, an all-powerful nuclear weapon was coming to kill him. And his mother, Uttara, what could she do? She just cried, Krishna, help my child. The power of a mother's prayer. And Parikshit Maharaj witnessed Krishna enter into the womb and save his life. And he realized, we are all forever completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And he never forgot that lesson. And because he was completely dependent on the Lord, he was seeking shelter of the Lord, he was surrendered to the Lord, he was empowered by the Lord. And we find Mother Earth herself, Bhumi, Dharma himself, as a bull. They are helplessly approaching a devotee, Parikshit Maharaj, to protect them. Not just to protect them, but in protecting them, protecting all their children. Everyone. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's giving us the very essence of the means by which we can realize the very essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very essence of all Vedic literatures. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Dasanudas. To be in this mood, not to be controller, enjoyer, proprietor, but to be servant of the servant of the servant. Suratam Sarva Bhutanam. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochatina Kamshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate. The dualities of happiness and distress and pleasure and pain and success and failure and all of these things are going to come and go whoever we are. But a devotee, how do we transcend it? In whatever situation, how could I best serve? How could I grow in this situation? How could I learn and how could I best serve in this situation? And if we have that consciousness, we're actually transcendental. It's not that the suffering is not there, it's that we can go to a deeper place beyond the suffering in our consciousness. And Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. Seeing all living beings with equal vision, which means seeing everything and everyone as the beloved property of Krishna. And respecting that, honoring that. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, this is the principle of being the servant of the servant of the servant. And to chant the holy names. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. It's the prime benediction for all humanity. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis, because the Supreme Krishna has descended and he has many, many names. He's incarnated in this world in many ways. And in each of these names have invested his beauty, his sweetness, his power, his love. And Krishna is so easily accessible to take shelter. Janmaishwarya Shruti Shripya Edamana Madapuman. I will end here because I think I'm late. We were discussing Kunti Devi's beautiful teachings and prayers just this past Sunday. And Srila Prabhupada explains when we, he's explaining from Kunti, when we are not proud, when we are not distracted by this arrogance that separates us from God, which is so often irresistibly facilitated by wealth and fame and knowledge, education, beauty, then we can't chant the names with feeling. Draupadi had all those things. But when she realized none of it could help her, she chanted Krishna's names, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda, with feelings. Jive Bibaswami Tamada Deva Govinda Tamodara Madhaveti. The gopis, in whatever they're doing in their life, they're constantly chanting the names of Govinda with feeling. So whatever happens in our life, recognize, remember, it's an opportunity to chant Krishna's name with feeling and to live in a mood of seva. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Rukmini Dwarkadish ki jai. believe this coming week is 50th anniversary of Rukmini Dwarkadish coming to Los Angeles.
Saturday and Sunday.
Hare Krishna.